Doc Holliday followed at a fair distance. His little Mustang seemed eager for the trail, but Doc kept him at a walk. With snow and mud underfoot, he had no fear of raising dust, but the O'Briens were the kind to check their back trail carefully and often. After a couple miles riding into a cold wind, Doc felt that familiar bumping in his chest that always gave warning of a coughing fit. He tried to ignore it, hoping it would go away. It didn't. Doc's thin body reeled in the saddle as the full hacking force of the fit hammered at him. Alarmed, the Mustang lifted its forelegs off the ground, and Doc tumbled out of the saddle. He struggled to his feet and staggered to a patch of snow near a stand of mixed pine and spruce. He lost his footing and fell on his face. Doc buried his face in snow that soon turned crimson. Finally, the cough eased and he could breathe again, but just barely. He felt like a man dying of thirst who can only take a tiny sip of water at a time. His shredded lungs were giving up the battle, and Doc Holliday realized his time was shorter than he'd imagined. He was fast running out of space on the dance floor. His cough had laid it out for him. Doc had trained the ugly little Mustang to stand, and it grazed close by. He grabbed a low pine branch and pulled himself to his feet. He looked up to judge how far he had to go to make it to the horse, and then he stumbled to him. For a few moments, he rested against the Mustang's flank, then he climbed into the saddle. He had lost time, and the gunfight might already be over, but he dared not kick his mount into a run for fear of falling again. He walked the horse forward and prayed he would not be too late. He had to die with a gun in his hand, his booted feet planted firmly on the ground. Soon it was snowing again, just a handful of flakes tumbling in the rising wind. Doc saw an abandoned surrey. Only when he rode closer did he notice the dead man in the seat. The man was old, white-haired, and he'd been shot and probably robbed. Certainly his ring finger was missing, and his horse had been taken. Doc did not bolt for cover, but turned in the direction of the shot. Two men sat their horses about 100 yards away, one of them with a rifle in his hands, the other leading a paint pony. It seemed the rifleman was satisfied with taking just one warning shot, because he and the other rider turned and vanished into the pines. Now, normally Doc would have reckoned that the murder of an old man was none of his business, but the fact that some lowlife had taken a pot at him changed his attitude quickly. It was a grave insult and one a gentleman of breeding could not ignore. Doc swung his horse and headed for the pines. He was unfamiliar with the lay of the land, but directly to his south were the shallow mesas of the White Bluffs, almost lost under a weight of black cloud. Ahead of him, forested high country was cut through by deep, mysterious arroyos. Wary of crossing the open meadow between him and the pines, Doc swung wide and followed the tree line. He dismounted and hung on to the saddle horn. After a few moments, he walked into the trees. He had his gun in his hand, holding it behind the tails of his coat. Two men, dressed in mackinaws and wool pants tucked into tooled boots, stood in a clearing, one of them holding a wallet in his hand, fingering through the bills inside.
50-50, you said, bud.
That's right. We split $70.
Hey, what about the gold watch?
What the hell are you?
Help! It's the old man! He didn't come back to haunt us!
Shut your damn trap, Lou. This ain't no booger man. He's just that old timer lost in the woods.
Hell, Then cut him, bud! Have us another wallet and watch. The old geezer looks like he's well healed.
How does that sit with you, Pops? You got a wallet and watch you don't need anymore?
Doc approached them.
Are you the damn ruffian who just took a pot at me?
Yeah, I did. Warning you off, like. You got something to say about that?
Well, I don't like people taking shots at me. It scares me. When I'm scared, bad things happen.
Is that a fact? Bad things happen, huh?
Oh, indeed they do, my thuggish knuckle-dragging friend.
You got anything else to say before I put a bullet in your brisket, old man?
Only this.
Doc's Colt flashed from behind his back. Doc swung his Colt on Lou, a loose-geared man who used a cross-draw holster. Lou's gun cleared the leather fast, but he didn't get off a shot.
Mister, give me a doctor, please.
No, it's too late for doctors. Best you take your medicine and make your peace with God. By the way, I never did see a cross draw that was worth a damn in a close fight.
Doc saw the glint of a gold chain hanging out of Bud's pants pocket. He stooped and pulled on the chain and found it was attached to an expensive gold watch. Partial to watches, Doc slipped it into his pocket. He turned and made to step out of the clearing to recover his horse.
Don't leave me, mister. I'm hurting bad here.
I'm sorry I have to go. Life goes on, you know.
I knew it would come to this pass. Last night I dreamed the black bull crawled out of the devil's shoe. That was a bad omen. That's why I lie here, gunshot and dying.
You have the black bull. Where the hell is it? Well, it doesn't really matter. I'll leave you to die in peace.
Kill me!
Damn it, that'll cost me 15 cents. Cartridges don't come cheap, you know.
Kill! Kill! Me!
All right. It's a charitable act, so to hell with the expense, right? I mean, it's my Christian duty.
Doc pulled his Colt.
Well, damn it. Now you satisfied?